Okay, so tonight we are continuing in our freedom classes. I'm excited about it. I want you to know we are using different teachers, and I am glad to see that you're here. Sometimes people, when lead pastor's not teaching, you kind of slack sometimes, but not you guys, because this isn't the second team. We have all first stringers that are teaching, and tonight we're bringing out one of the big guns, and just like in football, aren't you glad it's football season again? I hope LSU and Alabama win every game. Honestly, guys, I'm like, Lord, I don't even know if I want to win this year. I love my people so much. I'm just hating to see the pain. Come on, guys. All right, I don't want to take up any more BB's time. Pastor BB's coming to continue into the teaching with us. Come on.
Amen. Hey, all my kids look really big tonight. Now I know what they're going to look like when they get older, right? Little mini-me's in the back. Taylor's got them tonight. He's going to do a great job with them. So I'm so proud of him. So last week, Trey did an awesome job. Got to see it on live feed, so we got to watch it, on the tree of good of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And so if you remember, some of the points of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was bondage, the law. It leads to death. God is the only judge. We are condemned. That's not a good tree to be in, is it? And in the tree of life, freedom, grace, eternal life, God is good. God is forgiving, non-judgmental. Hey, that's the topic I get tonight. Amen? And so I'm going to share some personal things with you tonight, and it's probably more fitting in a smaller group because I don't usually share my heart with everybody. But, you know, when the time comes and I need to share, I will share. So some of you might be surprised because you think probably nothing ever goes wrong with BB. You know, she's just even killed, and that's how I present myself. But, you know, we all have our troubles. We all have our trials and the things that we go through, right? So my relationship with the Lord started when I was just a little bitty girl. Mom and Dad brought me to church, and I gave my life to the Lord at a very young age. I'm so young, I probably don't even remember because it's all I know. And just raised in the church and just loved the Lord. But that doesn't keep you from troubles. That doesn't keep you from going to the tree of good and the knowledge of good and evil, does it? You know, we know what's good. We know what we need to do. But sometimes that's bondage for us. That doesn't give us complete life and liberty. And so over the years, you know, raising our family and stuff, and me and Daniel's had some bumpy roads along the way, and not knowing some of the situation that he had gone through, that he kept secret from me because he was too ashamed to share with anybody. But in 2012 began a journey of healing for Daniel, and but I won't go into the details because he's preached at several churches in the area and stuff like that, and some of you he shared a story with you, but we're not going to go into those details. But one day we were home, and he was at a hard place in life, and I was confronting him with that and wanted him to buckle up and everything. And instead of buckling up, Dan literally decided he was just going to walk out and run away. So he left. He didn't have his walking shoes on. He had his sandals on, and he didn't take the car, but he hit the road, you know. So I'm like, where is he going? What's he going to do? And he's like, I'm going. And so he just took off. So I didn't know what to do. At this moment, I didn't get Taylor and Tori involved in it. It was between us. They were out of the house at this time. So I called Taylor. I said, Taylor, you need to go get your dad. You know, I don't know where he's going. He's heading down the road. And so Taylor started walking down the road with his dad, walking and walking. So they end up here in front of the church. Guess who's at the church? Pastor Paul meets them in front of the church. There's Daniel, Taylor, and Pastor Paul walking, walking, walking. And Daniel is not coming back. He's walking, and they're trying to convince him, come back, you know. But because of the hurt inside, he didn't know how to deal with it, and all he thought about was, I'm just going to walk, and I'm just going to get away from it. Has anybody ever felt that way? Let me just run away from this situation, from this problem. And so he just kept walking. Ended up by Mr. Rivette. Everybody know where Mr. Rivette is? His brother Jean enters the scheme of things. So you have Jean, Taylor, Pastor Paul, Daniel walking. Daniel's not coming back. Well, they decided they're just going to let him be and let him walk. And so I went home, and I just started praying. I said, Lord, I was really upset with him. You know, in my heart, I had a right to be angry. Why? How dare you just walk out? You know, why can't you face this? Why can't you deal with this? And it all stemmed from unforgiveness in his life, from past hurts. And when we have those unforgivenesses in our life and we don't live in that tree of life, it's hard to get over that, you know. And I was pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and he didn't want to be pushed anymore. Well, I went to bed and I prayed. And I prayed and I just said, Lord, he's in your hands. Whatever's going to be is going to be. Taylor said, Mom, I lost him. I don't know where he's at. Nobody knew where he was at. 6 hours later, he calls me. He is at West St. Charles Baptist Church. Called me on his cell phone. I picked him up. His feet were bleeding because he didn't have walking shoes on. He had some old sandals on. He had blisters on his feet. I didn't yell at him. I just opened the door, let him in. I stuck my hand out. He grabbed my hand. Isn't that kind of like our Father does us? And he took my hand, and we got home. I washed his feet. I wanted to beat him up in my heart. But I didn't. I said, I'm going to do what God would do for me if I was in that same situation. I'm going to treat him like God would treat me as his child. And I washed his feet, and I put him in the bed, and I prayed for him, said it's going to be okay. Now, how many years later? It's 2012. We're in 2017. God has done a transformation in his life. And I'm so proud of him, and that God has really, really healed him from unforgiveness and molestation as a child. And if you've never been through that and you don't know what it's like, it's kind of hard to forgive the person who molested you. But God has really led Daniel to that place of forgiveness. And that is only found in the tree of life. Amen. And so we're going to start tonight, and that's kind of personal for me. And I hope you still love me and you still love Dan, and that, you know, pray for us always. But last week, as we studied the two trees in the Garden of Eden and how they represented the way that we live, you know, sometimes we want to hang out in that tree of knowledge of good and evil, where we should be operating in the tree of life. And it's so easy to do that. But, you know, beginning like a weight trainer, when they're training, I watch Taylor work out and I watch him train. And sometimes he needs a spotter. You know, sometimes he has Alex or he has other guys that are helping him lift up that weight when it's heavy. That's what this group is. That's what our church is for one another. We spot one another. We lift up when things get heavy. We lift one another up. We're going to help each other get to the point that we need to be in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. Amen? Now, this is not a small group. It's a big group, right? But this class is designed for a small group. But don't hold back if there's something in your heart that you want to share tonight because you think, well, I don't want someone to maybe think less of me or maybe think that, you know, I don't want everybody to know my business. Well, you know, weigh that out. If you feel like you need to share those things, this floor is open. I always say what happens in the back stays in the back. But sometimes, you know, kids, it don't. But and just like, you know, I know all kind of stuff about y'all. So just saying. I keep it to myself, though. I pray for you guys. But, you know, the tree of life, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, 105. How appropriate for God's word to be that lamp and that light to our feet to guide and direct us. You know, as we progress through the course, you know, we're going to be able to think, you know, am I operating the tree of life or am I operating the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That should be always our main focus, not about I deserve to act like this. I'm going to do it. She deserves for me to tell her this and I'm going to tell her. You know, don't do it. Operate in the tree of life. Pull back from a situation. I always look at Pastor Logan. I wanted to say Poppy because my tongue got tied. Poppy Logan. And I look at his consistency and his demeanor, and I tell people, I say, I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him. You know, he is wise. He's slow when responding. You know, he's not quick-tempered. He's even-keeled. And isn't that something to strive for? You know, especially when you are in the throes of life and things are coming at you and you're under so much stress, to just kind of be even keeled and taking your time and slow to answer, right? So, Poppy, I guess you're kind of like a little Jesus to me. But, you know, in fact, as we grow closer to the Lord, as we grow closer to Him, we're going to hear His voice. We're going to find His heart. You're going to find His heart for you. He loves you so much. You know what? Not everybody was raised in a home where the Father was loving. You know, not everybody was raised in a home where they were encouraged and lifted up. Not everybody was raised in a home where they had open arms, like, I messed up, come here, I'm going to hug you and kiss you. It's going to be okay. We're going to help you get through this. Not everybody has that. So you might have a different thought about how God the Father is. You know, a lot of people put the perceptions of how their father is on the way God is. But you know what? God isn't that father that's there to stomp you into a little muddy puddle. He's not. He's not looking for a chance to crush you. He is a God that loves us. And He's a God that forgives us. And He has His open arms open for us. Amen? Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30 say, Then Jesus said, Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart. Oh, that's how Jesus. See, that's why I think about Poppy, because I think He's humble and gentle at heart. And I think, you know, God's telling me that's how He is. I'm humble and gentle at heart. That's how He wants us to be, humble and gentle at heart. And you're going to find rest in your souls because of that. Amen? For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Amen? We don't have to carry all that stuff. We want to fix everything, but we don't have to. It's all up to God. You know, when I thought about this, somebody said, Are you nervous about speaking in big church tonight? I would just pass out. I said, No, I'm not nervous. I said, Because this is God's word, and whatever I say, if it's God's word, He's going to use it and plant it where it needs to be planted, right? You might think, Well, she's the worst teacher in the whole wide world. I don't know why they put her out there. But you know what? If I'm preaching God's word, it's God's word. Amen? So you should be able to receive it. The fruits of living in the tree of life. Let's get some good fruits, right? The tree of life results in fellowship with God. Do we just fellowship with God on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights? Is that our only time that we fellowship God? Do we wake up in the morning on Monday morning and say, Lord, what's the day going to hold? What do you have for me? You know, that's how it should be. It should be a Monday through Sunday way of life. It's not just on Sundays, I'm going to come here and feel good and leave. It's something that's going to take us and change us. Amen? It's that fruit that's going to help us grow. Now, this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, John 17:3. According to Vine's Bible Dictionary, Ginsko. That's how you say it, Ginsko. I had to put the little computer on to hear the pronunciation of some of these words. And you know what? It's to know Him. We need to know the living God. How do we know Him? How do we get to know this God that has created us, that loves us, that wants fellowship with us? How do we know Him? We know Him by reading His word. You know, and we also know His character. How do we know His character? The Bible tells us that He first loved us. He first loved us. How much did He love us? He loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die and to be sacrificed for me, for you, so we can have right relationships with Him. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that the only reason we have any love at all is because He loved us first. That's amazing to think about, a God that created Adam and Eve and then He messed up, you know, and it caused us to be separated from the One who loved us so much. And you know, when God loved us and that time happened with Adam and Eve, God decided that He's going to send a blood covenant with us. You know, there's power, there's life in the blood, right? You know, no blood, no life. You draw, your blood flows out, you're gone. And you know what? There's a blood covenant with the Lord. And His Son Jesus, at the cross, He made a way for us to have right relationships with Him. You know, in children's church, that's my arena. When we talk about this subject, which we do in children's church, there was a gulf between God and man after Adam and Eve sinned. And that gulf, they could not get to God They couldn't get to God from where man was. Jesus had to lay down his life, and he made that bridge between man and to God for us to cross over to be with God. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed that blood and covered us. And there's a blood covenant that God performs for each one of us. And you know what? In a blood covenant that God, he cannot break those blood covenants. I love what Hebrews 6, 17 through 18 says. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. He's never going to change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. How many of us break our promises, right? But he never breaks a promise or his oath. The two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge. Can you imagine that? Just flee. You know, you hear people leaving for refuge to get to safe place because of the storms and stuff. Can you imagine running into your father's arms? We flee to him for refuge to have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Isn't that wonderful picture of our Father in heaven? Amen? Fellowship with God results in innocence, not the other way around. I love this part because when I was studying this, I'm reminded of Mila as she jumps out the bathtub, and, you know, she doesn't care if anybody sees her in her skibbies because she's just going over the house. She's as free as a bird, you know? We get out of the shower, we want to cover up, you know? But children don't have that hindrance. They are just open, free-spirited. It's all or nothing, you know? And so here we are. We're not innocent because of what we do. We're innocent because God has made us that way. They, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden there, they realized they were naked or naked. I'd like to say, get your clothes on, you're naked. But as we spend time walking with God, listening to his voice, talking to him, obeying him, and worshiping and enjoying him, we will notice a transformation taking place. You're not going to be the same in the presence of God. You are going to be transformed into his image. You cannot stay in the presence of God and stay the same. You know, not only on the outside, but the insides are going to change. You know, you're going to start walking different. You're going to be talking different. You're going to be looking different. It's going to show on the inside and the outside. We'll become, a sense, naked or transparent and unashamed in front of our Lord. Amen? Nakedness in Genesis 3:7 speaks of innocence, and Adam and Eve were unaware of the reason to hide anything from God. They fellowshiped with him every day. They waited for him. God met them. They fellowshiped with them. They had no sin consciousness. Can you imagine living like that? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Not to have any sin consciousness. You look at the news, it's just full of sin, of people's sin, and the way the world's gone. You see all that. But just to be in a place of innocence. We might think of little kids. We talked about that, running around the house, just free and bare. But Adam and Eve's nakedness was part of an innocent simplicity in their lives. You know, they were actually clothed in the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? We too can be clothed in the glory of God. But y'all keep y'all clothes on, okay? Before they sinned, they had nothing of which to be ashamed of. This is the same concept that Jesus was talking about when he said, we had to be like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 19:14. Children are not technically innocent. We know that. You know, both of them. Jax is getting whiny, and, you know, he's getting where he wants to get down. He wants his way. Mila's been wanting her way for a long time. So that selfishness comes out, you know, but they're children. But you know what? They're not weighed down by guilt. They're not weighed down by shame, and they're not weighed down by burdens that we carry. And the 1 Corinthians 14:20 says in the NIV, brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. He wants us to come to him like a child, with a childlike faith. He wants us to come to him But he doesn't want us to live like children. Because we know how kids are, don't we? You know? And he wants us to be like a child in our faith, but he doesn't want us to live like children. We need to be mature. We need to mature in Christ. And this may look like simple-mindedness or being naive, but it's actually a biblical way to live. And you know what? Jesus said to be shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove in Matthew 10:16. He also says in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God deliberately chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. So he doesn't operate like we do. God does. He doesn't operate like that. So dare to be misunderstood, the pursuit of your friendship with God, because only the pure in heart will see him, Matthew 5:8. You know, God works cannot produce innocent and fellowship with good. Good works can't produce fellowship and innocent. We can work all we can, but that does not bring fellowship and innocence in the presence of God. Innocence and fellowship with God produces good works. When you're in a right relationship with the Lord, those good works are going to flow. Amen? You don't have to work to get in a right relationship with the Lord. But when you are in that right relationship with the Lord, those works are going to flow. And as we are being transformed into the image of God, the negativity of the world does not have an effect on our emotions. I love this part right here. Once we understand that truth, the enemy has no ammunition. Amen? He has no ammunition. If we sin, we know how to receive forgiveness. And if someone offends us, we know how to forgive. Amen? Don't stay in a spirit of offense, and don't stay in a spirit of unforgiveness. I could testify to that with Dan, because it literally almost spiritually killed him 50 years later down the road. Forgive. They may not deserve it, but you do. Amen? And so let's operate in that. Amen? Right here it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 39 through 44, and Luke chapter 6, 27 through 36. In these passages, Jesus tells us how to live as a child of God in innocence and freedom. Using these scriptures as reference, describe what living in innocence looks like. Who wants to do that for me? Who wants to be brave? Alex has the mic. We got to get you a mic because we're taping these sessions here. But who wants to answer that? What did you say? For one thing, I said, oh, there he goes. He's got a mic. The first thing I said, open arms of trust to those who hate you. How difficult is that? To open your arms of trust. I'm going to trust this person that I know can't stand my guts. There we go.
I'm not standing up. No, it makes me too nervous. She's silly. I just put to love those who hurt us, forgive easily, and go the extra mile for people.
That's exactly. That's good. That's good. Exactly right. Amen. Does anybody else have something you want to add to that? This is a small group. I know y'all all be jumping in or going to the kitchen for coffee. One back here? Okay.
For me, just paying it forward.
Paying it forward. Amen. That's good, Jimmy. You know, I had open our arms to trust to those who despise you. Be willing to lay down your pride. You have to be willing to do that. You have to humble yourself. You have to be gentle. You have to humble yourself. And give willingly, even when your enemy doesn't deserve it. Amen? And love without reservations. According to 2 Corinthians 11:3, what will Satan try to do with our minds? 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by cunning ways of the serpent. I had to read the whole chapter because I like to read before it happened and after it happened. I don't like to just pull one verse. I like to read the whole thing. But does anybody have, what did you write down on that spot? Anybody want to share? Yes, right here.
I just wrote that he will trick you and play mind games with you and just try to deter you.
Yeah, he will deceive us. He is a deceptor, right? And he will deceive us. You know what? Innocence is conduit to God's power. You know, I want you to think about this. In the tree of life, your focus changes from your sin and your shortcomings to God and his goodness. God restores your innocence. It was so neat that one time we were in a women's conference, and there was a lady there who had relationships with lots of men, and she just wanted God to restore that innocence back to her that she had given to man after man after man. And physically, that can't happen, but spiritually, it can. God can restore that to you. And so she had prayed, and God just delivered her from that, and you know what? She just thought about God's goodness. She didn't think about her shortcomings anymore. She didn't focus on her past situations. She was new in Christ, and that's who she knew who she was. We got to believe and know who we are in Jesus. Amen? Who we are in God. So the innocence is conduit to God's power. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's in Luke 4, 18 through 19. This is what Jesus said after his great temptation by the Satan in the desert. He came out full of the Holy Spirit and power and began his public ministry. He was tempted in that wilderness, but then came out and says, he has anointed me to preach. He didn't fall into those temptations that the enemy was giving him, was he? You know, turn these rocks into bread. You're hungry. Yes, sir. Oh, he wants a mic.
Oh, boy. Oh, you can't walk up
there. Satan tries to make us believe what he says we are.
Yes.
For God knows how long. I believe what Satan said I was. We pastored some great churches. And when the churches started to grow, I said, it's time to go because somebody's going to find out about my past. We would resign. We'd move on. And then, and so don't believe what Satan says. Believe what God says you are.
Amen.
That's the only truth. I mean, you should know the truth. And truth, not, you know, truth is going to set, but you got to know the truth for it to set you free. And then earlier you talked about the blood sacrifice. A lot of people I talk to and I witness all the time, I'm not good enough to come to Christ. Well, if you go back and look at the sacrifice had to be a spotless lamb, a perfect turtle dove. And so when God looks down, he doesn't look down at you. He looks down at the sacrifice. So when Christ died on the cross, he became our sacrifice, our propitiation for sin. God doesn't look at me anymore. He looks at that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which causes me to bridge that gulf and be able to come to him. So don't worry about what Satan says about you. Yeah. Look what God says about you,
that's
and
right.
You'll do good.
Amen. Good word. This is so neat is that, you know, we talked about here Jesus is. He's being tempted in the wilderness, and now he's anointed to preach the good news. He's going out in power. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's going out with power to minister. The scripture says God anointed Jesus to preach the good news. And what does it mean to have an anointing to do something? It is empowerment by the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to focus on Jesus, or we want to just focus on God. And sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit. But God, that's God 3-in-1. Amen. We believe in the Trinity here at Life Fellowship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and abide in Jesus, we become free from the works of darkness in our lives. We become vessels of honor, useful to God. His life will flow through us, and there will be nothing that we can't do. Innocence keeps our minds and our hearts pure so that we can see and understand God. And as we see God and submit our lives to him, we become equipped for every good work. No matter how bad you think you are, you need to put that away. And you need to start believing what God has said you are. You're more than a conqueror. Okay? You're anointed to preach the good news. You can do mighty works in his name. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Live in the tree of life. Break free from that mindset that I'm not good enough. Amen? Now, I hope everybody did this because I love this. When I did it in my bed the other night, and I was like, Acts chapter 10, 38, replacing your name with Jesus' name and your city where you are and the word where Nazareth is. I put by gosh, okay? So read it out loud. So, and you know that God anointed Bridget. So let's just say your name. So if you wrote it down, just say it with me. And you know that God anointed Bridget of Bayou Gosh with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Bridget went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with her. Same for you. Same for you. Amen. Isn't that powerful? You know, the power of God will equip you for every good work. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Innocence and power always produces the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you, you're going to produce some fruit. Okay? You can't help it. It's just the way it happens. You know, if I plant an apple tree and I fertilize it and I take good care of it, guess what? I'm going to have some apples. You know, you put yourself and you graft it into that vine with God, and you're living for him, and he's flowing through you and you're flowing through him, you're going to produce some fruit. Amen? Innocence results freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. How many of you are just ready to be free? Amen? To live in that freedom that God has given us. This is the mystery of godliness. We will sin and fail. We will. We don't want to stay there, though, right? If we sin with the tree of life as our perspective, guess what, guys? We're going to fall down our knees. We're going to say, Lord, you know, I messed up. I need forgiveness. Let's make it right now. And you don't wait. You just get to it and you get after it and say, I'm going to make it right with the Lord. Because you know what? We are going to fail. We are going to sin. We are going to mess up. And the issue is how quickly we get up depends on the degree of understanding that we have in our hearts of the completeness of God's forgiveness. Amen? What does Psalms 37:23 through 24 say? It happens when the godly stumble. What happens when we stumble? We're not going to go all on that. Who knows what happens when we stumble? We're going to get back up because the word says that he directs our steps and he's godly and he delights in the details of our lives. Even though we stumble, they will never fall. The Lord holds them by their hand. He's got to pull us back up. Freedom changes the way we live and the way we think in the parts of our lives. If you attend a church, a Tree of Life church, you're going to love the worship. You're not going to worry if the wall is purple or black or blue, whatever that color is. You're not going to care about that. I think about my mother-in-law, Mama Anna. She was 80-something years old on staff at Crossroads Church. Very progressive, youth-oriented type of church. She loved her hymns, but I'm going to tell you one thing. She was on the front row worshiping the Lord with that rock and roll music, she called it, but she was praising the Lord, okay? So her heart was right because she didn't care. She was worshiping her Savior with everybody else in church, and they love Mama Anna. We miss her. But you know what? We don't think about ourselves. We think about what the Lord's doing in lives, right? We don't think about that. Relationship changes in the Tree of Life. We no longer hold people to impossible standards. You know, well, look at them. No way can God ever. God can. God can change someone's life and change them. Amen? He can make us a new creation in him. Amen? If we submit our lives to him, there's nothing that we can't do that God doesn't bless us with. Amen? Because we're in him. We're abiding in him. Because we live for Jesus and his kingdom, people are no longer able to take advantage of us. This is true freedom, guys. In reading our Bible and praying and serving others should be a source of life, security, strength, and delight. And these things should never be religious duties to be performed. You know, we don't want it to be a duty. Oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, I got to read my Bible today. Oh, if I don't, God's going to punish me and I won't be blessed, you know, or something's going to break if I don't do this or do that. How many ever? I've done that before. Has anybody else done? I got to do this because, you know, I need God to bless me, right? Have you done that? It don't work that way. That's just bondage. That's just, you know, God just, that's keeping you in bondage. What God wants us to do because we love him. We want to be in his presence. We want to serve him. We want to serve others. We want to have a dialogue with him. We want to be in his nature, in his goodness. You know, no more guilt-ridden sittings where you plow down. You got to read 20 chapters a day or you're going to go to hell tomorrow. You know, forget about that. So do I feel completely innocent before God? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Do I feel completely innocent before God? What would it be like to have a true fellowship with God? If you haven't gotten to that place yet and you answer those questions truthfully, it might be painful. God can move you. You're moving in the right direction. Amen? You're moving in the right direction. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of life-giving spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Romans 8, 1 and 2. We're going to wrap it up in a little bit because Pastor wants to get 10 minutes at the end. How to live in the tree of life? Well, we're going to start with our relationship with the Father is essential. You have to have a relationship with the Father. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. You know, that relationship was broken. We talked about that earlier through Adam and Eve. That relationship was broken. But because of what Jesus done for us, we are restored back to the Father. Romans 5:8 says that God expresses great love for us. Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm going to... And that's on video. So, I told you I'm not professional. Romans 5:8 says that God expresses great love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that in your human flesh. Would you lay down your life for somebody that was a sinner that didn't like you? Or, you know, you think about that. Didn't love you, but you loved them first. Boy, that's a great sacrifice that our Father gave to his children. Amen? His one and only Son. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we look for God, he made a way for us to be in relationship with him. He made the first move. You know, when you look through the Word of God, people want to just stay in the New Testament, but if you look from Genesis all the way through, Jesus is whispered in every book of the Bible. He was preparing a way to have a relationship throughout the Scripture from beginning to end. It's not a mistake that the Old Testament's there. If you look at the Old Testament, Jesus is whispered in every book of the Bible, and he's making a way for his people to be restored back to the Father. Amen? Because of the finished work at the cross, we are declared righteous before God in Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us have been serving God out of duty or fear, much like a servant. Much like a servant, you know. What is he going to do to us? What if I don't do this? You know, is he going to smash me down? You know, but you know what? We need to serve him like a son or daughter. I don't know if you lived in our house, but those kids got everything they wanted because of him in the back. You know, but even when they messed up, he was loving and hugging them. I wanted to kill them. But that's what our Father does. Amen? That's what our Father does to us. He requires us to be faithful. And we want to serve him because we are his sons and daughters. How many does for your mom and daddy? Because you love them, right? You want to bless them. I know I do my daddy that way. We serve him because he's part of the family. Amen? And you're part of the family. He's required to be faithful and suffer consequences. A son serves because he's part of the family. A son is faithful because of his love that he has for his father. Through Jesus, God now sees us as sons and daughters. Galatians 4:7 says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you were his child, God has made you an heir. You're part of what he has. You're part of his family. You're heir to what he has. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You're not a servant. You're his daughter. You're his son. Amen? You're part of the family of God. Amen?
So ask yourself, do I live a life as a son or a servant? Am I living a life full of guilt and feel like I have to do these things to make my master happy? Or do I serve him because I love him and he's my father and I want to be near him and I want him to be pleased with me? I like my daddy to be happy with me. And I'm sure, you know, your kids want you to be happy with them, you know, because Milo will say, Mama, are you happy? Sometimes I'm not, but but I don't tell her that. God has lavished his love on us by calling us his children. Amen. 1 John 3:1. Just as our natural relationships are strengthened through time, fellowship, our relationship with God will be stronger and more meaningful the more time we spend in prayer, reading the Word of God, communion with other believers. Only in the tree of life we realize that these tasks are because of our relationship, not responsibility. It's because we have a relationship we want to do these things. Falling in love with him turns the idea of duty into devotion, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Amen? So living in the tree of life is a daily choice. We got to recognize that, you know, we can live in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or we can choose to live in the tree of life. So when you are in your life situations and life is going on around you, your life response and attitude in every circumstance is crucial, and you're walking in freedom. Got to make it to the front of your mind. You have to really be thinking about that. You can't just live by the seat of your pants. You need to be thinking about what you do. John, 1 John 3:1 says, "See how much my Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." You know, Matthew 11 says Jesus compares his way of living to that of the religious Pharisees. The Pharisees were legalistic. They were self-righteous. Their approach to God was strict in keeping all the Jewish laws. They kept all those laws. They kept everything right, but they didn't have the love of God within them. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, write out Jesus' response to the heavy burden that comes from trying to keep the law. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's not going to be tough. He's going to help us along the way. And Moses challenges the Israelites to determine what path they will follow. You're going to follow. There's two paths. That's it. Okay? There's a path to life and a path to death. You have to choose what path you're going to follow. So ask yourself this. Do my daily responses and decisions bring life to others? And what tree do I live in? What tree do I live in? Do I answer people harshly? Am I judgmental? Am I putting them on standards that they're never going to meet? You know, say, "I told you they weren't going to do that." You know, what tree are you living in? What response are you bringing? Are you bringing life? Ask the Lord to help you to make life-giving decisions every day. Start the day with such as prayer throughout the day when faced with the difficult decisions or situation. Press pause. I love this. Examine your motives. That means slow it down, okay? You don't give a quick answer. Ask him for wisdom. Through retraining, the way we think and response time, we learn and grow in both our successes and our failures. Amen? Remember, God loves you, and he's there for you. Grace was his idea. Now, this is what I love the most about this, is that we need to renew our minds. That old devil has been playing that same tune in your head over and over and over for years and years and years. It's time to take hold of that and say, okay, it's enough. You're not having any more of that. And start renewing your mind and what the Word of God says is true. Real change happens when we know what the Word of God says about our lives. And many times our worldview and our past experiences shape our version of the truth. And we cannot make the Bible line up what we think is true, but we can line up with the truth with the Bible. Amen? Too many times we want to make the Bible fit our situation, but the Word of God is the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we need to just get away from that. We need to change our mindsets by what the Word of God says. The Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you're able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The pattern of the world will lead to death. God's will lead to life. Amen? You need to take captive of every thought
that's not in obedience to God's word. Don't let those things rehearse in your head over and over again. If it's suicidal thoughts, if it's I'm not good enough, or is I don't feel like I fit in, I don't have any friends, they are against me, whatever the devil's just rehearsing in your mind, it's time to take those thoughts into captivity. You know, Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any virtue, if there is any anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Amen? Have you ever heard someone say they can't help what they think? I can't help it. It's what I think. Well, it's not true. It's not true. No longer will you be allowed the enemy to have free reign of your minds. Choose today to take the hostage thoughts that doesn't line up with Scripture and meditate on the life-giving words of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Train your brain. It ain't in there. I just added that. I thought that was good. Train your brain. Stop thinking about what the enemy's putting in there. If it's not lining up with God's word, that doesn't have to be there. Pastor?
Thank you, BB. She did a great job, right? Very good. I would never, ever correct you, BB, in front of everyone, but there was that one place that said when you're in the tree of life and you said you will love the worship and you will love the people, but it did say you will love the pastor. So if I just want to, I know you didn't mean to leave that out, but, and you will love the children's pastor. Thank you, man. What a great job. I just want to wind up, first of all, by saying, aren't you enjoying this teaching? Yes. And I love that it rings true. And what you've heard in the last 2 years on Sundays and Wednesdays, we talk about loving God and loving people, and we talk about not judging and not living, you know, it's more than rules, it's relationship. And I teach you Titus 2:11-12, that the grace of God, loving God, is what motivates us. But wow, this has taken us deeper in where this is grounded in Scripture and how you can live it out every day. So just real quickly, in the notes, it says, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? And I'd like for someone to share, if Alex will get ready with the mic, I'd like to hear from someone on what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Oh, here we go.
Hustle up a little bit, everybody. I wrote that the Holy Spirit is saying to me that I can only lead by example. I can change myself, but I cannot change others. The Holy Spirit is telling me that when I see others struggling, I must dig deep and pray for them while remaining faithful in who I am as a child of God, never to take my eyes off God and the path that he set before me.
Very good. Sarah had her hand up. Nick, Sarah, Justice.
I'd put how I respond to my kids. I was just thinking about it today because it's something that happened, and my first response is definitely to swing in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I think for me, I just need that time to like process in that tree and then pick apart what's wrong in that tree and then get somewhat back in the right tree before I address my kids, especially having an older teenager, and trying not to push away and to be not so much a friend, but to give knowledge and feedback that makes sense instead of just flying off the handle because I'm the fly off the handle type. And to just capture those thoughts that is still of Satan that would push my child away or, you know, that would put a wedge in our relationship, and then that makes it difficult. And I don't want my kids to be, well, my mom was a Christian, but yet she, you know, tore into us for every little single thing we did. And to do like what BB said, to be uplifting, we think, okay, I'm going to uplift my husband, my friend, my neighbor, the adult. We don't think to always uplift the kids in that same way, but I think they need it more than what the adults do sometimes.
Very, very good. You know, BB mentioned, yeah, that's awesome. BB mentioned if we can slow our response time down. And that's what you're talking about. That's what this teaching talks about, to make sure, and we're using the analogy, to make sure we're in the right tree. I know I have even a couple this week that I was counseling. We were talking about this and slowing it down, and I've used the example of the Matrix even when I preached up here. I did something goofy like, and that's just when you slow it down. If we can do that spiritually, and that's so good. Let's get real then. Living in the knowledge. How many times as parents do we give our children knowledge? How many times do we tell them what they already knew was wrong, and we major on what they did wrong? You knew this was wrong. You did this. And what do? We build in them a desire to avoid us when they make mistakes, right? And isn't that what this teaching is about? That our Heavenly Father does not want us to avoid Him when we sin and when we fall. He wants us to come to Him in innocence and let Him pick us back up. And I'm telling you, as a parent, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to live. And as a child of God, it's hard sometimes to understand that we live in that kind of innocence. That's awesome. Stand with us. Again, Pastor Beebe, great job with this teaching. Definitely. Keep coming on Wednesday nights. This is going to get better and better. I still feel in my spirit the same that I felt on the last Wednesday night that I was here, that we're at a turning point in our church. We are, I don't even know what that really meant, but God is showing me more and more. And I think what it is we're really beginning to understand more and more how to live what I know that we've been preaching at least the last 2 years. And that's how to live in this life, loving God and loving people and giving life, and how to apply it as a parent to our children, as a pastor, as friends. And I'm excited about that. Remember, nothing can stop us if we truly love each other. If we are really one, not just looking, okay, man, thank you for sharing. Dan, thank you for letting her share your story. Man, thank you for saying, yeah, that's personal. And some of us know that story, some of you don't. But that's where we need to be innocent and wise. In other words, don't tell us, you know, be sure it's God. But wow, we all have those stories. We all have those stories. And if you don't, you need to thank God. And be careful, don't walk proudly. But yes, thank you, both of you, for being willing to share that. I know that I have been transparent over the last couple of years with you on my story. With wisdom, we can all love people that way and let them know so that they can come in here. I want people to come in here and look around and go, what are they doing here? Right? Why? Because we've reached out and got some of the just worst failures that the community had ever seen, ever heard about. Do you hear what I'm saying? And shown them the love of God, and now they're walking in innocence with us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Again, we thank you for your word. God, thank you that you are just showing us over and over that we can be innocent before you. Now, Lord, on that question, you know that I put no, that I do not feel innocent in front of you. And I know that somebody else did too. And it's because of regret. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that we would learn that we do not have to live in regret. Teach us to live in life, Lord. Teach us to come before you in innocence, God, and receive the love that you have. And I speak that into our people, Lord, that we will receive your unchanging, unstopping, undeniable love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you do not qualify it. Thank you, Jesus, You do not say, I will love you and I will accept you if. You don't even say that. You don't even say, Lord, that if we keep your commandments, you'll love us. You said, if we love you, then we'll keep your commandments. Thank you, Lord. I pray blessing over the people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday.